Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. I am one of your hosts this week, Professor Chris G, and on the other line with me is my video game advocate. It's good old Dougie Fresh. Dougie, my man, how are you doing?
I am doing extremely well, and I'm excited to get into this conversation.
Absolutely. And we're going to kind of switch things up a little bit because normally I would do the introductions, but I'm going to go ahead and throw the introduction to our guest over to you, Doug. So whenever you want.
Yes, this week we have the distinct pleasure of being joined for the first time on Every Pokemon Episode Ever. We are joined by the illustrator extraordinaire, one of my true good friends. Please welcome to the podcast, Scotty Ladd. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing fan-friggin-tastic. Awesome. It's great to hear from you again.
And we are so excited to have you on the show this week.
Absolutely. So, and I would like to let everyone know that Scotty is one of our Patreon producers for this month, and as he is monthly on our show, so he is now one of the guests, and something that all of you can do as well by going on patreon.com/everypokemon. And we're going to go ahead and open the doors. And Scott, how did you get into Pokemon?
Well, let's see. Year was 1998. I was about 8 years old, and the first time I've ever heard of Pokemon was on a commercial which featured the Pokemon being sucked up by a vacuum made by Team Rocket.
Got ya.
I love it. Love it.
I tend to do impressions. I hope that's not too much trouble.
Oh,
it's
no,
fantastic.
Not at all.
No, you're,
yeah.
This, you know,
we welcome that here on this show. We have we had a guest on by the name of Carl Dutton, and he does voices for days on Power Rangers. And he comes on the show, and he does it on the show, and he has a UK accent as well, and it's perfect for this show. So we love when people come on here and do different voices for the show.
Awesome sauce. My 90s is showing.
So, okay, I like that. So I'm going to give you my background with Pokemon just a little bit, and you're probably going to laugh, but I got introduced to Pokemon by complete accident. So I was flipping through catalogs. I had just gotten my first Game Boy. It was in the 1990s, and I just came across a dragon, a big red dragon, and then of course they had a big blue turtle, and I was looking at it and I was like, oh, that looks cool. And it was around Christmas time, so my parents were asking me, what do I want for Christmas? I was like, I want that. So, and I was like, I want the dragon one. So my parents got me that. I had no idea what I was getting into. They got me the Pokemon game, and I've been hooked since.
I don't know if I've ever heard
Very
that story.
Nice.
Oh, I don't think I've ever told that story here on this podcast. Yeah, my introduction was complete, like by accident. Like complete accident, just flipping through a Toys R Us catalog, if you can remember those back in the day.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. What about you, Doug? How did you get introduced?
Yeah. How did I get introduced? You know, I can't pin it down to specifics. You know, like our pal Scotty here, and I wasn't flipping through a catalog like you. I feel like it had to have been WB, whether it was a couple episodes before school or whether it was during the weekend. But
ooh, they actually got you with the cartoon, the anime.
It had to have been. I mean, unless I randomly stumbled upon a pack of cards. Which, nice. I suppose it could have been.
Okay. And Scotty, I do have to ask, what was your first game, or did you have both of them at the same time? What was the first Pokemon game that you actually started off with?
The first Pokemon game, Pokemon Red for the Game Boy Color.
Very nice.
Nice. Who is your Pokemon?
Charmander. I had to choose Charmander.
Yes. He was a fire type. He was a fire type.
Yes, I love it. Okay.
And I almost forgot to add a little more to my first intro to Pokemon.
Okay.
May I elaborate?
Oh, absolutely. The floor is yours, my friend.
Before a after the commercial, I remember stumbling upon the anime by accident on TV. It was during the episode The School of Hard Knocks, where it was, I think it was Pikachu versus Cubone. And the first full episode experience for me was, I think the episode was called The Bridge Bike Gang.
Nice.
And I
That's a really good episode to have as your very, very first.
was that the oh my gosh, the
That
Bridge Bike Gang.
was when Jesse and James joined the bike game, or that bike gang, and when the Ash and them were trying to cross it, remember?
And who had training wheels?
James.
James had training wheels, that's right.
Yes. I love that episode. That is
Yes.
such a funny episode.
That is such a great episode.
Okay.
And now I'm just reminded of James's voice back then. I'm James, your master.
Yeah,
He
kind
was.
of has what's his name from Harry Potter? Snape. Kind of had like a Snapey voice.
Yes.
Turn to page 394.
Oh, that was awesome. I love that.
I'm telling you,
Thanks. May Alan Rickman rest in peace.
I'm telling you, this is one of Scotty's like wheelhouses is just doing voices. I mean, him and I would just we lost days just hanging in dorm rooms riffing. And if I haven't told you were such a solid hang, Scott, and it's just like I'm honored to, still call you a friend. And before we get too bogged down in Pokemon minutia, I haven't had a chance to publicly thank you for becoming a supporter of the podcast. I know we were probably going to do that at the end,
Yeah, absolutely.
but
Thank you, man.
we're kind of at the back padding era spot, so this is as good a time as any.
Well, you're welcome. You two were very, very entertaining to hear. In fact, to tell you both the truth, in order for me to do some chores around the house, I feel like I needed background noise, and I listened to your podcast on the Detective Pikachu movie, which is still a kick-ass movie,
Yes, it
and
is.
I got my chores done in less than an hour.
Awesome.
That's great.
That's awesome. That's so nice to hear.
That's awesome. I like we love that you're a part of this show, and we just recently, and I'm thinking about going back and re-editing some of our first one episodes to kind of make them a little bit more listenable. So that is something I do have planned in the future, with adding some riffs and some of the episode captions and stuff from those episodes that we did back then. Because believe it or not, we for the longest time doing this podcast, it would just be us talking for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and especially on the movies, we didn't always have the audio to be able to entertain you while we are going through a lot of these episodes. Right, Doug?
That's something that we, funny enough to say, I mean, it's still kind of a recent thing, the enhanced episodes.
Yes. So, and we wanted our viewers, because I mean, you listen to other podcasts, and not to knock anyone or any, or by any means, actually, this is the opposite of knocking, but I'm an advocate, and so are you, Doug, of what a cartoon podcast, and what entertains you the most when you're going through those episodes. I mean, if they were to talk for 3 hours and we didn't have any audio from those podcasts at all, I mean, it would be kind of a drag to kind of get through a lot of those episodes, right, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, What a Cartoon and Talking Simpsons are, I would say, are two biggest. I mean, I know it's under the same umbrella, but it's different. But they would, in my opinion, be our biggest like inspiration.
Yep.
And I remember them talking about, well, how do you get clips? Like, did you get permission from Fox? And they're like, no, we just did it, and nobody told us to stop.
Hey, don't tell them our secret,
Doug. Oh, kayfabe. But
I heard nothing.
Ah, there it is. See that?
Yes,
you got nothing. But yeah, I mean, and this is what I envisioned this show, especially this week, being just a general hangout and bullshit session. So
absolutely.
Whoa! I didn't know we could wear. Cool.
So Scott, we talked briefly about your first foray into the gaming sphere, and we found out that Charmander was your first main. Well, I was originally going to ask you who your favorite was, but now I kind of want to look at it from a gaming perspective. If you had a dream top six, and this is probably an unfair question, especially off the top of my head, and, you know, if you can do it to the best of your ability. If you had a dream top six to go into battle with, what would you choose?
Ooh.
All right. Before I reveal that, ooh, I know you can't see me, but I'm raising my eyebrows up and down going, oh, this is going to be good.
Oh, nice. You know what? I'm going to have to
talk
to this as well. Okay, so you answer first, Scott, and I'm going to think about how I want to answer this one, too, because, that's a good question.
Oh, and can they be from any generation?
Oh, absolutely. We're not restricting it in any way here. This is just a free-flowing discussion. We're just going off the top of the dome.
Very well, then. My top six would be as follows. Porygon, Goldango, the Dunsparce, Chuckle, but only if it has the ability contrary, because okay. I've got a strategy for that one. And the last two are shinies. They are shiny Rotom and shiny Smeargle.
Ooh. What variant of Rotom do you like, if you don't mind?
If anything, I like the original. I like the original Rotom.
Okay.
I mean, the other ones are pretty good, but I just can't say no to the Ghost Electric typing. And if I had it my way, I would love a Rotom variant where it would possess an arcade cabinet and become part fighting type.
I love it. I'm still thinking about this one. Doug, do you have a top six?
You know, you would think I would, because it was my question. I'm tempted to be a basic bitch and just like do like a team full of Eevee evolutions, or like Pikachu, Charizard, Blastoise, Venusaur. You know, like throw a Raichu in there, maybe a Machamp.
Okay.
You know, I might And this is probably a cop out. I might have to put a pin in it and answer it on a future pokey break or something.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that.
Because it was my question, and I didn't think to write down an answer. Because I was literally coming up with the question. Because I was originally just going to ask him his favorite, and I'm still going to ask you your all time favorite, Scott. So don't think you're getting off the hook.
So, let's see. If I had to think for myself, you know, so number one, Charizard. He's always in my pack. Let's see. Let's see. I'm gonna go Mew. Yeah, I am gonna put Mew in my party. So I'll put Charizard, Mew. Let's see. I'm trying to think. What was the name of that Pokemon from Sword and Shield that I liked so much? I think it was pronounced.
Well, maybe I can help you.
Calyrex?
Calyrex.
Yes, there you go. But not the ice one. I believe it was the psychic type. The Shadow Rider. There you go.
Vectorizer? I think that's how it's pronounced, or could that be the name?
I
some of the names escape me, I will admit that.
Yeah. I think it's the Shadow Rider Calyrex. Because I just for some reason I just love the way that he looked. Skeledirge. Only because of the ghost just being able to be a fire type and a ghost, because I loved him in the newest game. Let's see, that's four. Let's see. You know, I did like. I can never pronounce his name. Coridon? Yeah, Coridon. There you go. So Coridon, that's five. Because I just love the way that he looked. Nothing against Mirrodon, or I think that's Mirrodon. How you pronounce it. Yeah, Mirrodon. But I did not like the way that he looked in the game. I liked his counter so much better. And let's see, who am I going to end my list with? Think. I don't really have a water type in mind. You know what? I'm going to cheat. I'm going to go with, Zamazenta, the regular version of him from Sword and Shield. So there you go. I think those six would be my six if I could put them all in one game. There you go.
Okay, so I have a question.
What's up?
Why is that considered a cheat?
Which one?
Your last one, because you said I'm going to cheat.
Well, he's very quick. He is a fighting type, but he's very quick.
Okay.
And when you get him in the game, I believe he's already at a level 70. So he's already up there. You don't have to do too much training with him. So, and he kind of just goes in, and as long as he has the right moves, he's very quick, and he's most of the time going to go first. So it's kind of a cheat, but I like him.
Okay.
I think it's the red. I love the red.
Good choice.
Oh, well, thank you.
By the way, when you mentioned Skeledirge,
yes,
I picked that starter the first time I played, and guess what I nicknamed him?
Oh, what'd you nickname him?
Croco Stimpy.
Nice.
Nice. I love it.
That's fantastic.
I mean, there's nothing against Sprigatito or Quaxly, but I did not want to play my game with the final evolution kind of being a dancing type Pokemon. Quaxly, when he finally goes to his final stage, very good. Very, very, very good water type Pokemon. And it becomes a fighting type at the very end. But I don't know. There's just something about fire type for me. Because I know Doug, you would have picked Quaxly, right?
Big time. Got that little bit of an OCD lean to him. I mean, you can't, you know.
He has that cool swag.
He's got that swag, you know. He's a freaking cute duck. I mean, you can't, you know. Like I say, call me basic if you want.
Now, I swear Scott,
that duck looked like a little mini Donald Duck.
I know. I thought the same thing, and I was like, they're so lucky that they kind of veered away from it just a little, because when he evolves. Nothing like Donald Duck again, but it's just the Quaxly version. So if you look up baby Donald
and Quaquavel, and I mean no offense, but Quaquavel looks like one of those Las Vegas dancers.
Yes. You know that that's exactly what I thought when I saw. I was like, okay. Because they did a really good job for once when they were bringing out Scarlet and Violet. Like, you didn't have a leak of any information. They introduced Sprigatito, Fukuoko, and Quaxly, and that was it. Like, until it got closer to when the game was actually going to come out, did it start leaking what their evolutions were. But they kept this game on the hush. And anyone that had any information that went online and started leaking stuff was out of there just like that. And I loved this game. So, okay, I finally have someone to talk to in regards to this game. So, Scott, when you played this game, did you get the DLC content? And if you did, what did you think of the DLC content with this compared to Scarlet and Violet?
Well, I know when they released the trailer, I immediately pre-ordered it because, hey, more content with more Pokemon? Yeah.
Take my money now.
And as to what I think, wait, to quote Philip J. Fry, shut up and take my money.
Yes. So,
what did you think? Teal Mask was a lot of fun. Though it really disappointed me that the character Kieran kind of went down a dark path, and my wife Jess, who calls herself the backseat gamer, she came up with an idea that what if, say, Generation 10, you actually have in the gameplay where the outcome of the story will depend on your choices.
I am hoping. Because, yeah, with Generation 10, they got to do something huge, right? Like, when they bring out the quote-unquote Switch 2, and they're bringing this brand new system out, it's going to have brand new hardware, and Nintendo kind of veers down a certain path of how their games are going to end up looking. So I'm not looking for anything big old graphic-wise, but if they can do something like that with Generation 10, have it be open world, because, of course, these last few games that they've brought out, we're getting open world. We're getting Pokemon Legend Za. We're probably not going to get Generation 10 right away. They're probably going to go down a let's go path so that they can, like, bring Generation 10 and have it be the slam dunk that it needs to be, maybe in year two. So I'm hoping we get Legends, we get Let's Go, and then we get the big old 10th generation with all these new updates that us as fans have been clamoring for the longest time. So you want there to be, no matter what you do in the game, there's a different path that you can go down depending on what choices that you make in it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Kind of like the older Telltale games.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Or no, newer.
Yeah, I think the newer ones, yeah.
But yeah, I loved Kitakami. Blueberry Academy was fun, although one of the Elite Four members there was a pain to deal with because you had to catch Pokemon from the wild and use them to battle trainers. But yeah. Other than that, I absolutely loved it, and I definitely want to cosplay as Crispin.
Oh, that would be that would be badass. Doug, look that character up.
How are we spelling that?
C-R-I-S-P-I-N.
Oh, okay. Okay, I can kind of see what you're picking up and putting down.
And I have to admit something. When I saw Crispin do the whole animation before battling where he has a Pokeball on his frying pan or skillet, I immediately thought, it's time to go to Flavor Town.
I know, because he kind of bounces. It's like he's flipping a pancake right before he's getting ready to battle. And then he like pops it into his hand. He puts the frying pan behind his back and he's like, all right, let's go. And it's such a great animation.
Wait a minute. It's time for stadiums, gyms, and fields.
There it is.
So, Doug, I do have to ask you real quick, and I think I know the answer to this, but I did not have the chance to ask you before the Switch came out. When Switch 2 comes out, do you have any intentions of getting a Switch to play the new Pokemon games with?
No.
To reel you back in? No?
Where do you think I'm pulling all this money out of?
Well, Nintendo systems tend to be a little bit more on the cheaper side.
I'll have to see kind of what the demand is and if I can kind of slip in there on the down low.
Okay.
Because I'm not opposed to it. It's just there's only so many hours in the day, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, good old Sony already kind of has their hooks in me, you know.
I'm gonna get you back into one of these games real soon, Doug. And you're gonna thank me. You are gonna thank me one of these days.
Yeah, you said that before.
I know. Scott, I literally told him that I was going to personally buy the Switch for him just so he could play the games. And he was like, don't you do it, because then I'm going to feel obligated to play it. I was like, that's the point.
It's like, don't you go spending that kind of money.
Yeah. All right.
So we talked about... We had a nice discussion about video gaming, so I think that kind of leads me to my next question, obviously, is because we know that you're experienced with the newer games, and we know that Pokemon Red was your first game. What was your favorite game, and why, if you don't mind?
Well, let me ask you one thing. Does it have to be just one?
No, if it's like a series or a line, I mean, that can be like I was partial to Ruby and Sapphire myself as a unit, even though it was kind of the same game.
Well, to answer your question then, I liked Yellow, Crystal, Emerald, Platinum, White 2, and Ultra Moon.
Okay.
Now I'm gonna add to that because you don't normally get one of the black and white twos without having the original in the series. So what was so good about White 2 outside of White 1, or did you like White 1? It just wasn't fully there for you.
Well, I like the original White, but what I really loved about White 2 is that, one, it was challenging, especially when you kept progressing. Two, the fact that Kyurem is a major part of the story really hooked me in. And three, I kind of like some of the side, I hope I'm saying this right, side quests, especially when you find a broken X transceiver and you actually make friends with a celebrity within that game.
Yes. Okay. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And the one thing that hooked me in for White 2, PokéStar Studios, no contest.
Yes. 1000%. Yes. Okay, I agree. I had to ask you because I was like, wait a minute. Did he say White 2 and not White 1? I was like, okay, so I'm intrigued now. So, okay. I respect your answers. I liked Black and Black 2. And the main thing that I liked from it, because you don't know, this was the first time that you actually got, I mean, outside of gold, I would say outside of gold and silver, because you still got to go back to the Kanto region. But in Black and Black 2, it was literally a part one and a part two game. And it's not like you leave off straight from part one. It was sometime later in part two that you actually continue in the game and you progress, and it's actually later. And I loved that.
That's fair. Yeah. I can understand that.
Okay, and so, without knowing it, you just answered my next question. Maybe a little bit, maybe not fully. So I am going to ask it for the room, just for the sake of 100% clarity. Because White 1 and White 2 and Black 1 and Black 2 are the first time, as far as I'm aware, that Pokemon have done the number sequels.
Yes.
And, like, so you're saying they're not necessarily direct continuations?
Not directly. So you complete the game in Black or White 1, and after you complete that game, you're essentially done, unless you're going to go and complete your Pokédex. But there's still some bad going on in the world, which is where Black 2 and White 2 come into play. And I don't want to speak too much. Scott, do you want to kind of let Doug know, kind of in Black 2 and White 2, what the continuation kind of was, to include you in the conversation?
I honestly don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, it's hard. So the bad guys come back in the game. You have Kyurem and what was how do you pronounce the other Zekrom. One's name? Zekrom. And you have them, who are causing a big disturbance in the world. And you're basically playing, getting all your gym badges and doing all of that. But the story itself is different, where you end up fighting these Pokemon at the end, as opposed to how you did in regular Black and White. They were the focus of the game was strictly on them.
Okay.
In the game. Yes. And I believe between the two games, there's like 2 or 3 years that lapse between the games. Okay. So like you said, it's not a direct sequel. I mean, it is a sequel, but it's two different stories. Just like Sun and Ultra Sun, or Moon and Ultra Moon.
Okay.
Which I wish that they would continue to do, because which one?
Oh, I interrupted you. I apologize. You go ahead first.
No. I'm sorry. I was gonna say I want them to continue that, because if I want to get a continuation story, only because I'm so invested in Scarlet and Violet that I really hope one day that we get a little bit more of a continuation for those games. Maybe as like extra DLC kind of. I mean, I know that's probably not going to happen there. They'll probably release a whole new game before they do that, but I wouldn't mind seeing some sequels to those games, because there's so many questions that you could have answered because they introduced time travel in those games. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, I would love to, and you got ancient Pokemon, which I don't think that they're done doing. So, Doug, in Scarlet and Violet, I'm getting that mixed up with Sword and Shield. You have ancient Pokemon that was deep down inside of a cave that where a time machine basically, I guess it was built / crashed down there, and it plays the biggest plot at the end of the game and post game. And when you go in there, you see a lot of Pokemon that you would normally see around, but they're different.
Okay.
Because they're either from the past or they're from the future. Like you have like a Stone Age Jigglypuff.
Also known as Screamtail.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah, they all had different names too. And that kind of threw me for a loop. And I don't know, Scott, if it threw you through a loop too, because I was like, no, that's a freaking Jigglypuff. did you like those new names that they
gave? It did at first. Honestly, I'm half and half on it, but if it makes you feel better, I did give them nicknames based off of their, well, original names, but I gave Iron Valiant an interesting nickname twist.
Okay.
Oh, I'm curious now.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
All right. Iron Valiant is a future variant of a fusion between Gallade and Gardevoir, and I nicknamed it Galdevoir.
Ooh.
I like it.
That's pretty slick.
I do like that. Yeah, that is.
It's
you're good at nicknaming.
And the more I think about it, it's giving me Galvatron vibes.
I do. Okay. So out of the Pokemon, so I like Tyranitar, but when I saw Iron Thorns in the game, I originally thought of the green Power Ranger Megazord that he had back in the day. Because it just, that's what it looked like. You remember that? The one where he's like, boo, 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 doo, doo, doo. Do you remember that?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, man.
Yeah, for real.
Though for me, I thought of Mecha Godzilla.
Oh, that's a good one too. Doug, look up.
Speaking of which, if I had it my way in Scarlet and Violet, I would have Tyranitar be nicknamed Godzilla and Slacking King Kong.
Okay.
Nice.
And have them face off against each other. I wonder if they ever did that in the anime. I wonder.
Well, I know.
I don't know, but I would watch that in a heartbeat.
I know we were just talking the other week, Chris, about because we covered that episode, Bound for Trouble, with the giant Rhydon and
Pidgeot,
and then that obviously led into the discussion about the Island of the Giant Pokemon. So one would think that kind of the kaiju battle of it all wouldn't be far off.
No, I don't think it would be. And let me see. What generation was Tyranitar?
He was
Generation 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Generation 2. So we're coming up on it, and something tells me that, because I haven't seen all of those movies, Doug. So we're going to be coming up to some movies where I have fallen off of Pokemon at that point. So I'm real curious to see if Tyranitar gets a vocal point in any of those three or four movies that we're going to be reviewing pretty soon.
I know. I'm excited to get into some movies that neither of us have seen, because then we're coming at it with 100% fresh eyes as opposed to, you know, like, I mean, let's face it, just me not seeing them.
Yes. So, but, okay. Let's change gears up here just a little bit. So we got a lot of these games down. Where did you stand on the Pokemon anime, Scott? So we all of us, even Doug and I included, fell off of Pokemon at some point on the anime. What was it that you ended up falling off when it came to the animation?
I believe I stopped around the beginning of Generation 3 in the anime.
You know, I think we all did. I'm starting to think that all of our generations just stopped.
I mean, if anything, no matter what, I'd always play the games, but by Generation 3 in terms of the anime, it wasn't for me at that time anyway.
Yeah, there was something about Pokemon where, I mean, obviously because you have to remember, so each season was like 4 or 5 seasons, especially this Johto that we're about to get into, Doug, and that years wise has to have been like five years just to get through Johto here in the U.S. I would guess, because wow. There was why don't you guys spark up a little bit of conversation with that? I'm curious right now to see how long it actually took to get through the Johto region here in the U.S.
Let's okay see. So Scott, while he's looking that up in the background, and since we've circled back to the TV and we talked about like your first memory and maybe the first episode you remembered, and you know,
3 years,
it took 3 years.
Yes. 3 years to get through Johto. So that's probably why I fell off.
I'm curious, Scott, if you have an episode or episodes that like you look forward to maybe watching on reruns, or maybe that just always stick with you, or if you have like individual moments that you enjoyed.
I think I can answer some of those. Let's see. The one, no matter what, I'm always going in one episodes,
mm-hmm.
especially the one. Let's see. There's the battling Eevee brothers. Love that one. That's and I know classic. Jess definitely loved it because Jess's favorite Pokemon is Eevee and Espeon.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I also like the one where they enter this. The episode is Sparks Fly for Magnemite. Where the hell did they come up with Gringy City anyway?
We just did an episode where the city was called Kumquat City, and.
Yeah, and you didn't know kumquat was an actual fruit.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Surprisingly, I did, but it was only because of a Sunday comic strip that I read back in the late 90s. It was Baby Blues. That was it.
Okay, yeah. I think I might have seen little bits and pieces of that maybe when I was at my grandparents' house. They were probably
but
the only
no matter what, though... But no matter what, though, the only time, well, the one time that I laughed very hard at the word kumquat was in Garfield's Thanksgiving.
Careful, John, you don't want to sit on my kumquats.
You knew exactly what they were going for when they were, when they, I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. Okay. Oh wow. I was not expecting that. Oh man.
Oh shit. Hell yeah. Doug, one of the next Pokemon movie that we're doing, it's called Pokemon Forever with Celebi.
Oh, let's go. We haven't covered that already?
No, we haven't done it yet.
I could have. Okay.
We just did.
I haven't even seen that movie.
So that's gonna be extra fun to go through. Like I've seen bits and pieces, but I've never actually sat down and watched it all the way through, because they used to replay that movie on Cartoon Network. So I would always catch it like right in the middle of the damn movie.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay. But that's not one that I actually went to the movies to go see.
No, I think I was definitely out of the going to the theater range at that point.
So, but yeah, that's the next movie. I was going down the movie list to find out what movies that we're going to be coming on. And then we have one of my personal favorites, Pokemon Heroes, which will be our Christmas movie this year, is what I see here. Yeah.
Ooh.
And I can't wait for that. You know what? Okay. And I've never talked about this on the podcast, but it was one of my very favorite ways to play Pokemon. And they don't make these games anymore. But back in the day, for I think it wasn't DS. I think it was, or maybe it was DS. Wherever Pokemon Rangers came out, where you actually had a pen, and the only way to capture these Pokemon was to like do like this big whip in the game, and then you had to circle around your Pokemon like 10 times in order to be able to catch it, and the Pokemon will kind of break out of it. They made a movie based on that, and I cannot wait until we actually review that, Doug. God, have you ever played any of the Pokemon Ranger games? And if you have, did you like them?
Only one. I can't remember the name of it, but it had a Pichu that would play the ukulele.
Okay, yes. Okay, I know which one you're talking about.
And I like the concept and the premise. But I got stuck. I think it was in a sunken ship, and I never got to play the rest of it after that, because that was a rental.
Oh, gotcha. The game was hard, and maybe that's why they stopped making it, because they're like, these kids can't complete this game. We made this game too hard. But it was such a good concept. Doug, did you ever play any of those?
No, I can't say that I have, and now I've got a little bit of homework after the show, which I...
Well, actually, if you mute YouTube, why don't you go on YouTube right now and just look up a trailer for it?
Okay.
It was one of the most innovative Pokemon games that they came out with. And honestly, they could bring it back because they got the Switch, and the Switch is kind of a handheld when it's not docked. It was good. I loved it. And it's one of those games that I think that I could actually go back and play again today. I'm going to have to find it, because I have a DS, a 3DS somewhere around here. And I have that game, and now I'm going to want to go back and play it. So,
yeah,
okay.
With,
not to veer off. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I do have a question, and this is Pokemon related.
Okay.
With me being an illustrator and me learning how to do creative writing, I came up with a concept for a Pokemon villain. Would it be all right if I share that with you both?
Absolutely. The floor is yours.
Knock your socks off. Absolutely.
All right. To start off, I have one question for the both of you. When you're the champion of the region, what are you allowed to do besides defending your title?
You know, I mean, if it's like the anime, I guess when you're champion, because I just learned this not too long ago. So when you're champ, you defend your title, but you kind of help out your community as well. And you're kind of a celebrity in the world. So you have the luxury of helping out your community. That's what Leon did in the Pokemon animation series, which I really liked.
Very interesting. I forgot about Leon.
Yeah.
but one of my characters, I came up with an idea. What if she were not only the leader of a crime syndicate, but what if she were also the champion of that region? And as champion, you could pretty much have diplomatic immunity. Ooh. And do whatever you want.
Oh, that's fun. I like that. That's fun.
So she's playing both ends.
And pretty much once she becomes champion, this is the part I'm having a little trouble with, the motivation, because she definitely wants to take over the world. Like, she would make, how do I describe this? She would make Team Rocket look like a bunch of kindergartners.
Okay. So
the team would be called Team Serpent.
Serpent.
Team Serpent. Okay. I like it. I do. And she could, being the champion of that region, she can get whatever she wants. She has the resources to get whatever she wants. She can keep it a secret on the down low. She can be her own very Giovanni, because that's kind of what Giovanni did. Mm-hmm. Giovanni was this big, big time boss, and he just had the money and the resources to do whatever the hell he wanted to do. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's something that I've been working on. Let's say the player has finally managed to defeat her as the leader of Team Serpent. She stands down, but mentions that they'll eventually meet again in different circumstances. And then when you make it past the Elite Four, all of a sudden, on the champion's throne, there she is waiting for you. Mm. And here's the kicker. She is impressed that you made it this far. But she would only battle you under one condition. If you win, she will stand down and disband Team Serpent forever. But if you lose to her, you have to give up your dream of being a Pokemon master and help her rebuild Team Serpent from the ground up as her second in command.
Ooh. Ooh.
You know what? I'm gonna throw a curveball at you, because they're and I love going down these rabbit holes. What?
Go ahead.
So there's this theory that the reason Professor Oak became a professor and does everything that he does is because he had a Pokemon battle, and he was traveling. He was just like Ash, becoming a Pokemon master, but he had to face someone. And then if he lost that Pokemon battle, he had to give up on his dreams of being a Pokemon master, but nothing said that he could not build a new Pokemon master from the ground up, which is why he became a professor and had to find other things that he did. So what if he got caught up in something similar to what your story is? Because people talk about that. People talk about that heavily on the Reddit scene. that. Why is he a professor, and why didn't he become a Pokemon master, and why isn't he the one that's going out there and completing this Pokédex that he made? Because when the series first starts off, if you think about it, Professor Oak is not as old as he is like later on in the series. So there's that theory.
I haven't thought of it that way.
Why did he stop? And in one of the movies, and we find this out with the one that me and you just watched recently, Secrets of the Jungle, that Professor Oak was out there completing, like, finding out everything when it came to Pokemon. But then for some reason, he ended up just stopping.
Right.
So that theory got even heavier after Secrets of the Jungle. If you haven't seen that movie, I highly recommend watching Pokemon Secrets of the Jungle whenever you have some downtime, because it answers a lot of questions. And it's Ash's. Was that Ash's last Pokemon movie?
I believe so. If it even was Ash.
Yeah.
Because is there
a way that I can watch it?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
It was when we watched it. It's still there.
I believe it is still there. I believe so. I don't think they have a contract with Pokemon, and I don't think they've taken anything Pokemon wise down that they've put out there. So it's called Secrets of the Jungle, and it caved into the theory as to why Ash got Pikachu, and that he was given Pikachu on purpose so he can go and do what Professor Oak could not do. And that Pikachu was the only option for Ash, and that he was basically given Pikachu on purpose instead of Bulbasaur, Charmander, or Squirtle.
Now that you mention that, that makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
That's why I like your theory so much.
No, that's okay. And the early bird gets the worm, or in this case, the Pokemon.
Ah.
Yes.
with this discussion, and this is why I'm such a fan of like free-flowing episodes like this, and I'm just sitting back here kind of observing, is there legs, because we're like talking about Pokemon movies and stuff, or even a spinoff series for Netflix, is there legs in like exploring Professor Oak's origin?
Oh yeah, I'm sure there is, and I'm sure there will be one day. I'm sure it's probably gonna end up being one of those either YouTube or Netflix shorts where we do a quick dive into Professor Oak.
Because I would review the hell out of that.
Hell yeah.
Because, like, I'm just thinking, like, just in other popular culture, like, we've seen, like, we had an origin series about Gordon. We had an origin series on Alfred. You know, and I mean, we're supposed to be getting a friggin' penguin origin series. And as I'm saying this, I'm realizing I've just listed three Batman examples, but I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there's other ones.
So I'm sure we'll get that down the line. But let's see. But back onto Scott's theory, I do like that. And that would be great for a video game as well, whether you go down a dark path or you go down the right path, and depending on how you play the game, you can. What if they started the game off with you having Pokemon that are at a high level, and you battle that girl, and then that is where you get to choose whether you're going to either lose and go down and be her servant, and you have to do all her work from the ground up to become just as strong as her to kind of knock her off, or you go down or you beat her, but as you're getting ready to beat her, it kind of flashes away, and then you have to play what got you up to that point.
Ooh. That's fun.
That does sound fun. What do you think about that?
I think the latter sounds more interesting. It's kind of, you know what that reminded me of?
What's it remind you of?
It reminded me of when you were playing as when you were using Salamence versus Metagross in Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness, which is an underrated Pokemon game.
It is. It really is. Hey, just as underrated as Pokemon Ranger.
Hey, there you go, tying it back.
Just curious, can I send images to this group?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, for sure.
We encourage it.
All right. This one might take a bit, but it's a picture of a commission for one of my friends where my character, as the villainess, has her Pokemon. You'll see when it comes up. And one of her Pokemon is a regional variant design for Arbok, in which it is Poison and Dragon.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That sounds badass.
Yeah, it does. And that sounds like some stuff that Pokemon would do. Just to throw you off.
When did they start?
I really do love regional variants.
I do too. I do. The one that I'll say that there's one that I could have done without. And well, yeah, there's one. I didn't like Toad Skull. The tentacle new variant, the ground type that they brought into the newest game, I could have done without. Oh, yeah,
the convergence species.
Yes. Ooh, I like your photo.
Yeah, this looks really slick. I like the coloring on the Arbok.
You know what? If you don't mind, I could probably take a piece of this and put it as our artwork for this episode, if you wouldn't mind.
You know what? Go ahead.
Okay. There we go. That's the artwork. There we go.
Sweet.
But yeah, and the leader is Vipra.
Vipra. Okay. That's pretty badass. And you are really good at drawing. I'm just gonna throw that out there. I like your drawing.
He is very talented. I mean, he'll never pat himself on the back, so I'll have to hijack the show for a minute and just say, like, how absolutely talented doesn't describe it. I mean, I've got a few original pieces myself that he sent me as gifts, and I've got a text thread full of just original artwork that he'll just randomly send me, and it's just amazing the stuff that you can knock out. And I mean, you and I were talking this morning, Scott.
Oh, that's nice too.
About your illustration challenge that you're doing this year. And
oh yeah.
So, I mean, just the amount of stuff that you've been able to produce and that you can, you know, put your mind to, it's just, like, I am just immensely blown away. And, I mean,
if that is not the cutest Diglett photo, like, that is the most appropriate underground photo of a Diglett that I think I've ever seen.
Yes, the fine people that are listening to this show obviously don't have access to our Discord server, and we're just being treated to some Scotty Ladd originals, and we have the best representation of the underside of a Diglett I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, because I mean, you've never seen anything like that.
Plus, it makes you wonder, how the hell can Diglett use scratch and slash?
For real, I'm saying to you, I.
But they'll never put it in the damn anime.
Like, I mean, you're sitting there and you're like, okay, how does it do that attack? I mean, because obviously bite is its own attack. So it's not like they're calling bite scratch just for Diglett. So, like, you know, I mean, do the claws retract? I mean, what are we dealing with here? I mean.
Maybe one day we'll find
out. Plus, in one of the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon games, Diglett mentioned something about being scared down to its feet, and the protagonist Pokemon are going, Diglett actually have feet?
I'm saying to you, it's just, it's crazy. And especially when you think about some of the episodes, especially like, I mean, we're just wrapping up Orange Island now, so I mean, Orange Island and Gen 1 are like fresh in our minds. Like some of the filler episodes that we've seen, and they only had, they had that one episode that were specifically about Diglett, right?
Yeah, the dig a dig. and you get more episodes like that. They actually have in Ash's, not in his, I mean, I guess it's round about his last episodes, but they have Diglett that's eating up all the vegetation that's over, yes, in the area, and you find out that they're there because Team Rocket kind of ran them out. So now they're in an area that they're not supposed to be at. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so Diglett gets its stars in Pokemon, and I'm sure those aren't the only two episodes where Diglett is showcased either. So I'm sure we, as we're reviewing a lot of these episodes, Doug, we're gonna start noticing and seeing a lot of other things in these episodes.
I mean, for goodness sakes, I mean, just some of the episode numbers that have popped up as we're recording these episodes, I mean, and if you'll pardon the pun, because it's where we're at, we've barely scratched the surface, you know, talking about, yep, Diglett. I mean, he gets it.
May I share one more picture?
Oh, you could do whatever you want. I mean, the floor is yours. You know, you paid your money to be here. You take over.
I would rather ask first.
Well, we appreciate it, but just know, if you're on this show, you have carte blanche.
Yep. I hope you like this one, because this is one of my other characters as a Pokemon trainer.
Okay.
Ooh. And there is oh, for goodness sakes, Shell, I lost it. The frickin' turtle.
There's Torkoal, Ghastly, and Galarian Weezing.
A Galarian Weezing, Ghastly, a Torkoal, that's a great photo.
That's fantastic.
Love it.
Thanks.
Like I say.
Yeah, you are really good.
Immensely talented.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But are there any other topics, Doug, before we end the night tonight, that you would like to go over with our special guest tonight?
Let's see. We've definitely covered video games, and we've definitely covered the anime. The one thing I had down in my notes, and I did want to ask it just so I covered my bases, because I know, like, Chris and I have discussed it in the past, obviously. What was your experience with the trading card game?
The trading card game, huh?
Yes.
Well, this goes back to about 1998 to 99. There was a store that my mother would treat me to It was called Crazy Eddie's. It was the kind of store that would sell trading cards, comic books, action figures for adults, that kind of thing. Mm. And every time we would go there, I would either ask for trading cards or if I was lucky enough to get those little Pokemon toys, the little Pokemon figures.
I know what you're talking about, but often, I don't have the name right now.
Sometimes I would use those Pokemon figures with my Legos and pretend they're having Pokemon battles. But whenever we would buy some packs, my mother would open up the packs. We would do a little drum roll and we would try to figure out which cards I don't have yet.
That's awesome.
That's very, I mean, because, you know, listeners to the show, I'm sure I've mentioned my mysterious binders that are somewhere around here, I reckon, that I have no idea. Like, one day, I'm just going to come on here and I'm just going to be like, I found them.
And I'm going to be like, can I buy them off of you, Doug?
And I'm going to say no, because it took me this long to find them.
No, they're mine.
They're mine.
No. But.
Okay. So, yes, I kind of feel like we're wrapping up. And I know I said that the trading card game was going to be my last question. But I feel like I would be doing this podcast a disservice, and especially my co-host, if I didn't ask my dear friend Scott if he had any experience with Pokemon Go.
Ooh.
Well, it's kind of a hit and miss for me. Because on one hand, yes, it is awesome to catch Pokemon while you're outside of the house. But on the other hand, the big drawbacks are draining my battery and only having two move sets per Pokemon.
Yes. Yep. And I mean, I know I'm an avid Pokemon goer, and I will tell you that, I mean, they are about to have an update. I don't know how big this update is supposed to be. But they're supposed to be getting a new update, which will hopefully enhance the game even more than what it is right now. But yeah, I love the game. They just I don't know what it is, but they need something to make it more fresh. Because I feel like we've been playing the same game for 5 or 6 years now, and instead of just introducing new Pokemon, we need new ways to play the game. And I'm down for, like, right now. I just booted up right now, and this freaking Scyther is pissing me off. There we go. I'm trying to get him on an excellent throw, and he kept slashing my damn Pokeball every time I would throw it at it.
Ouch.
But
damn.
But yeah, there needs to be something fresh with it, and I do continue to give this game my money because I feel like I'm so vested in this game. But there's gonna come a time where I'm not gonna give it my money and I'm gonna stop playing it for another year, like I did 1 year and had to come back and play catch up, and that was not fun.
No, I reckon it wouldn't be.
No, because I had a lot of missions that I needed to do. That when they bring out missions, they bring it out for a certain amount of time to make it easier for you. But after that period is done and you don't complete it, it is really hard when they start focusing on something else to catch a certain Pokemon in order to complete the challenges that they're putting in front of you.
Okay.
So. All right, but no Pokemon Go lately, Scott?
Sadly, no. If anything, the last thing that I remember was playing around between fall and sometime last year, and my strongest one was a Tyrantrum, because I love T-Rexes.
Okay. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Heck no.
So, all right. I think we are starting to gear down, so we'll go ahead. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode. And no, I have not forgotten about you. We are still going to give away a Pokemon pack. Well, Pokemon pack code. And I'm going to let our good old pal Scott determine which one of these I'm going to give out. So, Scott, I have a Paldean Fates code here, or I have a Paradox Rift code. Which one shall I give our good old audience today? Paldean Fate or Paradox? Paradox. Right. So let's see. Today's special code, and it's good for anyone that's out there if you have your games open, everybody, but it's 64TRJYWB79PWX, everybody. And it's first come, first serve. The person that gets it, congratulations. If you didn't get it this week, you can try again next week. But, all right, I would like to thank you again, Scott, for coming on and doing this fantastic episode and talking about anything and everything Pokemon with us today.
Hey, no problem. And hey, Alola's my favorite region. And if I could come up with a name for myself, I'd call myself either Professor Hibiscus or Professor Banyan.
I love it.
Very nice.
All right, Doug, do you have anything else that you would like to say?
Yeah, well, you know, once again, I'd like to reiterate, you know, thank you for supporting our show, Scott. You know, it's, you know, above and beyond the call of friendship. I just, you know, happened to mention the other day that we were doing the podcast, and then, you know, I got your message as you subscribed, and then, and, you know... He was like, would he want to be on? Because he's entitled to be on. And I said, I'll reach out. And, you know, you and I have been going back and forth. And we were trying to hammer out details. And I'm so glad that we were able to make this work. Thank you for being so flexible with us, because I know we had to push you back a week.
Yes.
Because, you know, technology can be lovely. Yeah.
hey. Hey, some things are worth waiting for. Why did you think that I enjoyed playing Cuphead so much?
You know what? That is one of me and my son's favorite games to play, because one, I have never seen my son get so mad at a game as he did for Cuphead, because it's so hard. But man, is that a game.
Oh, and Doug,
And Doug, there's no difficulty to that game. You either just go full on in and you know what you're doing, or you're going to get your ass handed to you.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'll tell you, I have hovered on that game in the store so many times, and I just, one of these days it's going to be on a deep enough discount that I'm going to
you're just
going to
get it. Do it. It is such a great game.
But
and heck if you don't want to play it, at least watch gameplay footage, because the animation is feckin' phenomenal.
Yes. Oh man, I am so glad you brought that game up. Now I want to play it again. Now I got a couple games that I'm gonna want to play. I want to play Cuphead, and I want to play Pokemon Ranger. Ooh. I'm gonna make this work.
There you go.
Just so you know, you two are awesome, hands down.
Well, we very much appreciate it, and we're so thankful that you were able to give us some of your time this evening. And
thank you.
We're sure that our fine listeners are going to enjoy your episode immensely, just like We enjoyed having you on. So I know
Before we end this, may I please bring up one fact about myself that I wish to share?
I would love it. I would love, you could tell the listeners as much about yourself as you want.
All right. At around age 5, I was diagnosed with Asperger's autism, and the doctor who diagnosed me, at least according to what my mother told me, the doctor thought I would never make it past an 8th grade education. In 2015, I graduated with a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and a year later, I married the love of my life.
Wow.
It's crazy to think that it's been that long.
Wow. You see, never listen to the doctors.
Again, yeah. Not to boost my ego.
No, boost your ego, my friend, because like I say, you're one of the more talented artists that I know. And that was actually where and stuff just being a great artist, you're a great human being, a fantastic friend, somebody that I'm proud to have in my contacts list, that I'm proud to have our conversations, you know, whenever you have some free time. I was happy to catch up with you this morning to set this up. Like I say, thank you isn't adequate enough, but just, you know, we appreciate the support on the show. You know, hopefully this is the first appearance of many.
Oh, absolutely. We welcome you back with open arms, man.
But something I wanted to ask was, is there a place, because I know that you do commissions in terms of your art. Is there a place that you can be reached? Is there protocol to getting a hold of you?
Well, there's DeviantArt and Twitter, but I'm kind of not posting pictures on Twitter anymore, because apparently any picture I post has been flagged for sensitive content.
Ah, fooey.
Oh, screw Twitter or X or whatever they're calling them.
But if it makes the listeners feel better, I do have an account on Blue Sky. It's like Twitter, but without the bullshit.
Ah, there you go.
Okay, and how can our listeners find you on there if they were to look you up?
Hang on just a second. I gotta make sure I can't remember it, so I have to. Come on, thank you, phone. All right, Blue Sky. All right. You would have to look up at scottylad.bluesky.social. That would be scottylad.bsky.social.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll go ahead and put that down in the description as well for anyone that wants to look up good old Scotty. And Scott, thanks for coming on the show with us today. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. And like I said, I've been a fan of Pokemon since 98. And after listening to your podcast a few times, I thought, you know what? They need more attention and they're going to get it.
Thank you.
Well, we really appreciate it.
All right. And
us artists, we got to look out for each other, because it's not easy, especially with these times on the internet and all that.
Hell yeah.
I know.
Hell yeah.
Thank you. I really do. Man, I appreciate you. So, yes, artists looking out for artists. So, yeah, thank you again. Just a little bit of housekeeping before we do go. Just a small PSA. Again, everyone, you can be just like Scott today, and you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/everypokemon. And you can subscribe and get our shows ad-free, or you can be possibly become a guest on our show. So go ahead and subscribe on there. And if you don't want to do that, at least subscribe on Spotify, who is our official sponsor of this podcast. And they help keep the lights on over here. So you're hearing us every single week, everybody. So outside of that, that was a little bit of housekeeping. Thank you again, Scott, for coming on. We appreciate you, and we will keep the door open for you to come back for a future episode if you want to. So the possibilities are endless. Anything else for you, Doug?
No, I don't think so. I'm buzzing from this episode. I'm smiling. I'm so happy that we were able to make this happen. It was a great conversation, and I'm excited for the fine listeners to get to hear it.
All right. Well, Scott, if you would do us the honors, go ahead and give your goodbye to the show for tonight.
Goodbye, everyone. I was happy to be a part of this, and all I can say is excellent.
Thank you. And Doug, go ahead and give your goodbye, Doug.
Goodbye, Doug.
And this is Professor Chris G telling all of you we will be back again next week for another slamming episode of our podcast. Have a good night, everyone.